Who gives this woman to this man in marriage? Please be seated. Good deal. Got plenty of room. We are gathered here today to witness the mysterious and wonderful work of God in joining these two, Brian Mark Feenstra and Tabitha Joy Meyer, into one. We are also witnesses of their desire to have their marriage bond publicly confirmed in the name of Jehovah. By witnessing this event, we are all accepting the responsibility of seeing to it, insofar as we are able, that they are faithful to their vows, and thus that their marriage is pleasing to God. Because it is only with reverence, with true spiritual joy and eternal gratitude, that we can witness this work of God, let us humble ourselves before Him and ask His blessing. Let us pray. Father in heaven, glorious God, the God who has eternally determined the whole course of events, especially with the church in mind, with the salvation of the church, and has determined also the husband and the wife that thou hast determined for every man and every woman according to thy will. Tonight we rest assured that thou dost bring together these two, and that thy blessing therefore rests upon this marriage. Without it we would not dare to be here. We ask for a blessing upon this ceremony. We want this to honor Thee the whole of the evening, and pray, therefore, thy blessing upon us, that we may listen carefully to the Word of God on marriage, that we may, as husband and wife, Brian and Tabby, that they may take seriously the vows that they make as they stand before thee and before their family and friends, and vow to be faithful even unto death. Keep them faithful. Bless therefore this night, and glorify thyself in all things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us together sing Psalter number 247. 247, you may remain seated. We will sing all the stanzas. God our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. All the stanzas. Married persons are generally, by reason of sin, subject to many troubles and afflictions, so that you, Brian and Tabby, who desire to have your marriage bond publicly confirmed here in the name of God, may be also assured in your hearts of the certain assistance of God in your afflictions. Let us hear from the Word of God how honorable the marriage state is, and that it is an institution of God which is pleasing to Him. In the first place, you are to know that God your Father, after He created heaven and earth and all that in them is, made man in His own image and likeness, so that man should have dominion over the beast of the field, over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air. And after God had created man, He said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help, meet for him." And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Therefore you are not to doubt, but that the married state is pleasing to the Lord, since God Himself made for Adam his wife, and brought and gave her to him to be his wife, testifying thereby that he doth yet, as with his hand, bring unto every man his wife. For this reason, the Lord Jesus Christ did also highly honor it with his presence, gifts, and miracles in Cana of Galilee, to show thereby that this holy state ought to be kept honorable by all, and that he will aid and protect married persons even when they are least deserving of it. But that you may live godly in this state, you must know the reasons wherefore God hath instituted the same. The first reason is that each faithfully assists the other in all things that belong to this life and to a better. Secondly, that they bring up the children which the Lord may give them in the true knowledge and fear of God to his glory and their salvation. Thirdly, that each of them, avoiding all uncleanness and evil lusts, may live with a good and quiet conscience. Next, you are to know how each is bound to behave respectfully towards the other according to the word of God. First, you, Brian, as the bridegroom, must know that God hath set you to be the head of your wife, that you, according to your ability, shall lead her with discretion, instructing, comforting, protecting her as the head rules the body. Yea, as Christ is the head, wisdom, consolation, and assistance to his church. Besides, you are to love your wife as your own body, as Christ hath loved his church. You shall not be bitter against her, but dwell with her as a man of understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, considering that you are joint heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And since it is God's command that the man shall eat his bread in the sweat of his face, therefore you are to labor diligently and faithfully in the calling wherein God hath set you, that you may maintain your household honestly, and likewise have something to give to the poor. In like manner must you, Tabby, as the bride, know how you are to carry yourself towards your husband according to the word of God. You are to love your lawful husband, to honor and fear him, and also to be obedient unto him in all lawful things, even as to your Lord, as the body is obedient to the head, and the church to Christ. You shall not exercise any dominion over your husband, but be silent, for Adam was first created, and then Eve, to be in help to Adam. And after the fall, God said to Eve, and in her to all women, your will shall be subject to your husband. You shall not resist this ordinance of God, but be obedient to the word of God, and follow the examples of godly women who trusted in God and were subject to their husbands, as Sarah was obedient to Abraham, calling him her Lord. You shall also be in help to your husband in all good and lawful things, looking to your family, and walking in all honesty and virtue, without worldly pride, that you may give an example to others of modesty. At this point, we turn to the passage, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. We read there, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Brian and Tabby, you have a distinct privilege tonight, which God does obviously not give to everyone in this world. You are marrying in the Lord. And by this, you are establishing a home, and you will have a marriage that will be a reflection of Christ and his church. That this is the main point of the passage is evident from the fact that it says, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And at that point, it's a bit startling almost to think, Tabby, that you must be subject unto Brian as unto the Lord, as unto Christ himself, because the husband is the head, as Christ is the head of his church. And husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. And that too gives a man pause, Brian, if he thinks of that. My love for my wife must be as Christ's love for His church. Can that be? The Holy Spirit has much practical instruction in this passage to give to the whole of the church, to all married persons. And that is all based on this one important truth, that marriage is a picture of the relationship between Christ and His church. So to understand that first, let's look at the reality. The reality behind marriage is God's everlasting covenant of grace. God, from all eternity, determined to bring His people into a covenant life with Himself, to dwell with His people in Jesus Christ. And so we pattern His covenant life that He has with us, His life with us, is patterned after His own Trinitarian life, Father, Son, and Spirit, living together in love and fellowship with each other. The covenant that God establishes with us, as you know, is in Jesus Christ. He's the mediator of the covenant. He's the head of the covenant, so that He represents each and every one of us in the covenant. He's the life source. From the head flows the life to every one of us. And He's the ruler and guide of every member of the covenant. The form emphasizes that when it says Christ is the wisdom, consolation, and assistance of His church. He is everything to His church. And thus there is established between Christ and His church an unbreakable, eternal, spiritual union or bond. This is a bond set down in eternity in God's counsel. This is a bond that is forged in the fires of God's wrath on the cross. This is a bond that is realized by Christ as He redeemed His church and gives His life for her, drawing her unto Himself after He has washed her and made her clean and pure. He brings His church unto Himself as His own bride. The bride is the body of Jesus Christ, the elect. God would have His people to know Him in Jesus Christ. God would have His people to know His life, His mercy, His love, experientially, to know that love of God. He wants His people to know how great a God He really is, so that we can praise Him. As members of Christ's body, you have a place in that covenant. You have a part in that. We do not have the fullness of that life yet, not as we will have it in heaven, and yet we have it now in principle. But God wants us to look forward to heaven. And so He wants us to understand as much as we possibly can, what will that life be like when we are in heaven, living with God and in some way married to Jesus Christ? What will that life be like? So that we will understand it, God gives us pictures of His covenant life with us so that we will understand something of His covenant with us. Marriage is one of those pictures. And to me, it's the most beautiful of all the pictures that God has given us concerning the covenant. It's beautiful because it has all the elements, so many elements that point to God's relationship with us. A husband that represents Christ, a husband as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for the church, gave Himself. The husband loves his wife, gives himself for his wife. You'll die for your wife, Brian. That's what Christ did for His church. A wife, a picture of the church, pure, holy. That's why the white tonight, a reminder of that. That's what the church is, pure, holy. Someone adorned for her husband. That's the church. One man and one woman for life, because our relationship with Christ in heaven is an eternal relationship. It'll never end. And so the picture on this life must, as closely as possible, show the same thing, union for life. A married couple, all their life long, grows in their love for each other. they become more and more one, depicting that oneness that we have with Christ as the bride of Jesus Christ. So that's one reason why the marriage is such a beautiful part of the picture that God gives us. It represents it so well, but it's also beautiful because the life of marriage is a foretaste of the life that we will have in heaven. As difficult as it is for us to understand that, let's try tonight. It is an experiential knowledge of what it is to have intimate, close fellowship with one other person. Such a closeness and intimacy that you will not share it with anyone. It's just for the two of you. A beautiful, close bond of love in marriage. That's what God wants you to experience so that you will know something of the reality of His covenant that He has established with us in Jesus Christ. That's your privilege tonight, to enter into that kind of relationship. Recognize the significance of what is happening tonight. Not merely significance in that, yes, now I'm no longer single. Now I will live together with this other person for the rest of my life. Of course, that's significant. But the greater significance is that your new relationship is a picture of the glorious relationship of Christ and His church. What a blessing and what a responsibility to see to it that your relationship will be that kind of a picture of God's covenant. To have that marriage, the Holy Spirit gives instruction and says to you, Tabby, you must submit to your husband, Brian. You must submit to him. That means you put yourself under his authority. You're willing to take a second position in the marriage, to be the one who submits to him. In all your marriage, it means you love him, you honor him, you will be faithful to him in everything, and you will obey him in all things lawful in this life. Even as you would be faithful and obedient to Jesus Christ, that kind of obedience, that kind of faithfulness now, you give to Brian. A tremendous promise. You will submit your will to his and honor him as your head. That has to be there. Of all the things that the wife does for her husband, the Bible doesn't mention that. When it comes to what is your calling in marriage, even though you know there's many things you'll be doing in the home that you've promised to do in the study. You said, this is what I want to do for Brian. And yet, when the Bible says, now what's your responsibility, it doesn't talk about all the things you'll do for him. It says, this is your responsibility, submit. And that's because it isn't important what the church does for Christ. We really don't do anything for him. But what's important is that the church submits to Jesus Christ. So in your relationship, Tabby, that must come out more than anything else. Brian, you must love your wife. That means you give yourself for her. That's what love is. Giving, giving, giving. You live for her. You live your life even through her. You're not independent any longer. You can't do your own thing. You live your life through Tabby from this day forward. You dwell with her. You draw her close to you. You care for her physically. You care for her spiritually. As Christ loved the church. There is your standard. A standard beyond us. Now you recognize why the Bible pulls that out. Of all the things you must do for her. The form talked about taking care of her and protecting her and instructing and comforting. But this stands out, love, because Christ loved His church. You must be a model of that love in your marriage to your husband. Love your wife as Christ loved His church. God will give you both the grace for this. I know that, Tabby, you will. I know you for a long time as a friend of our daughter, that you will. And I believe that you will too, Brian, and everything that I've seen, that God will give you both the grace to do what He commands you to do in marriage. But you must. You must, for the glory of God. What a blasphemy it is when those who profess to be Christians contradict it in their marriage. When marriage becomes a battlefield, when there's bitterness and strife in a marriage, when children cannot see the demonstration of love and submission that is supposed to be there, but sees the very opposite, selfishness, hatred, fighting. What a dreadful thing that is. For God's glory, keep your vows tonight. But let me give you one more thing. God in His wisdom has determined that in the way of faithfulness you will also have joy in your marriage. The instruction here tonight is not a yoke that is put on you that is now a heavy burden. Oh, do I really have to do this? Do I have to submit? Do I have to love? This is the way of joy. This is the way of a blessing. This way and this way alone. This is the way you will experience that intimate communion and fellowship. You will share in each other's happiness. You will be lifted up by each other's love in marriage when you are both faithful to your vows. And your children will grow up knowing something of the covenant that God has established with us in Jesus Christ. Your children will know it from experience in a godly home. Ultimately, remember that your marriage is just a picture. The reality is heaven. That's where we're going. And one day in heaven, I'm sure that every married couple will look back on this earth and say, we didn't do a very good job of being a picture of Christ in His church. And we didn't see all the things in marriage that now we are experiencing in reality. Nonetheless, strive for that. Strive for that. So as you go about establishing your godly home, keep one eye on heaven. There's the reality. You're going to try to mirror that in your life. And may God grant that your blessing, your marriage is a picture of His relationship with us. Wherefore, Brian and Tabby, having now understood that God hath instituted marriage and what He commands you therein, are you willing to conduct yourself in this holy state as you here do confess before this assembly? And do you desire to be confirmed in the same? I take you all who are met here to witness that there is brought no lawful impediment to this marriage. Since then it is fit that you be furthered in this your work, the Lord God confirm your work, your purpose, which He hath given you, and your beginning be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Please join hands. Brian, do you declare before God and these witnesses that you take as your lawful wife, Tabby, here present? Do you promise to love and guide her faithfully, to maintain her and to live with her in holiness according to the Holy Gospel? Do you also promise never to forsake her, but to be true to her always, in good days and bad, in riches and poverty, in health and sickness, for as long as you both shall live? What is your answer?
I do.
Tabby, do you declare before God and these witnesses that you take as your lawful husband, Brian, here present? Do you promise to love and submit to him, to assist him and to live with him in holiness according to the Holy Gospel? Do you also promise never to forsake him, but to be true to him always in good days and bad, in riches and poverty, in health and sickness, for as long as you both shall live? What is your answer?
I do.
According to the laws of the state of Michigan, I now pronounce you, Brian and Tabby, husband and wife, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Henceforth you go on life's pathway together. And may the Father of all mercies, who of His grace hath called you into this holy state of marriage, bind you in true love and faithfulness, and grant you His blessing. Amen. Now for the first time as husband and wife, you may have your first kiss. Hear now from the gospel how firm the marriage bond is as described in Matthew 19, where we read that the Pharisees came unto Jesus, tempting him and saying unto him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered and said unto them, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." They say unto him, "Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away?" He saith unto them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery." Believe these words of Christ, and be certain and assured that your Lord God hath joined you together in this holy state. You are therefore to receive whatever befalls you therein with patience and thanksgiving, as from the hand of God, and thus all things will turn to your advantage and salvation. Listen to the promises of God in Psalm 128. "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. The Lord our God replenish you with his grace, and grant that you may long live together in all godliness and holiness. Amen." Let us sing together of the blessings that God bestows upon his people, singing together Psalter number 309. Psalter number 309, we will sing all four stanzas, and you may rise to sing 309. Let us pray together. Almighty God, thou who dost manifest thy goodness and wisdom in all thy works and ordinances. From the beginning thou hast said that it is not good that man be alone, and therefore hast created him a help, meet to be with him, and ordained that they who were two should be one, and who dost also punish all impurity. We pray thee, that since thou hast called and united these two persons in the holy state of marriage, that thou wilt give them thy Holy Spirit, so that they in true love and firm faith may live holily according to thy divine will and resist all evil. Bless them, as thou hast blessed the believing fathers, thy covenant friends and faithful servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in order that they, as co-heirs of the covenant which thou hast established with these fathers, may bring up their children, which thou mayest be pleased to give them, in the fear of the Lord, to the honor of thy holy name, to the edification of thy church, and to the extension of the holy gospel. Hear us, Father of all mercy, for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son, our Lord, in whose name we conclude our prayer, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brian and Tabby, it is my honor to be here tonight officiating at your wedding, and I wish you God's richest blessing in your married life together. My wife and I would like to give you a Bible as part of our as a wedding gift to you, and we pray that God's Word will be the very foundation of your home. And now it is my privilege to present to you Mr. and Mrs. Brian Feenstra.